Ladies, gentlemen, and others, it is I, Andy, the man who was depressed and suicidal and now gets to live a life of abundance and joy. If I can do it, you sure as hell can too. Something I hear from time to time, and it will often be, I'll use the word normies, maybe that's not the kindest way of phrasing it, but it will often be normies who say this. They will say the phrase, happy wife, happy life. As in, if I can just keep my wife happy, then I will be happy. And if my wife, I guess the implication is, if my wife is not happy, then my life is not happy. My life sucks. I'm depressed. I'm freaking out. Like, why is my wife sad? Holy fuck, I got to fix this. And it's basically playing not to lose. It's focusing your happiness or giving the, I guess, power of your own happiness over to another human being. And saying, they are essentially responsible for my own happiness, and I am responsible for their happiness. And obviously, there are things that you can do to help enable someone else to be a little bit happier. You know, you can be kind, you can be compassionate, you can have wild, crazy sex with them, you can be generous and provide for them, you know, all of these different things. They definitely help, sure. But at the end of the day, somebody else's happiness is their responsibility. You are not them. You cannot possibly spend your entire life trying to facilitate their happiness. And even if you somehow could do that, even if you somehow could read someone's mind and know exactly what they want and what will make them happy in every single moment, which is an impossibility, a lot of people don't even understand their own mind. I will say most people, especially the people who would say happy wife, happy life, they do not understand their own mind. They're not self-aware. They're not aware of most of their emotions. And your wife or their wife usually won't be either. And so if you're trying to predict her moods, predict what she might want, predict how she's feeling that day, my God, you're in for a tough time. You really are, especially long-term. You know, people change, people grow, people evolve over the course of a relationship. And if you've set your metric for happiness or your metric for success, your definition of success, as I will make sure my wife is always happy, you can kind of think of it like this. Who is here left for you? If you're spending your time and putting your focus on making your wife happy, who's here making you happy? Nobody's here for you. You're not enabling your own happiness and your own joy and your own love. Also, what do you think makes for a happier, I guess, situation? You trying to almost neurotically keep somebody else happy, or you just focusing on your own happiness, having a beautiful life yourself, and then that inspiring somebody else to do the same? People love to be around people who are just happy in themselves. It's infectious. Positivity is infectious. And so the kindest thing that you could ever do for your partner or for your wife or even just a girl or a guy that you're seeing casually is to be very happy and complete in yourself, to like yourself, to love yourself, to have your own mission, your own goals, your own independence, which most of the people who would say happy wife, happy life do not have their own independence. They really don't. Well, they'll have a little bit of it, but it's not like they have their own epic life going on. Because if you do, you're too busy to say happy wife, happy life. You would say, I'm focusing on my own happiness. My life is amazing. And she's coming along for the ride. And I help facilitate her happiness in whatever way that I possibly can. But her happiness and her life is her responsibility. And then we're two complete people who come together and add to each other's lives. And we raise a family together if that's what we want to do. But I am a man who is, you know, his own complete man. She is a woman who is her own complete woman. And then we come together and add something. But if you're focusing on happy wife, happy life, or the sentiments that are similar to that, you're basically saying, I'm only going to be a complete person when she's a happy, complete person. And again, the flip side, in the moments where she's not a happy, complete person, well, shit, I'm fucked. And I have to hurry up and get back to that point where everything's okay. It's basically two half-completed people coming together to form a whole, which is how people talk, don't they? They will say, I need to find my other half. You're implying that you are 50% of a human being. You're literally saying, I'm only half as good as a complete person. Instead, focus, or I like to focus, on being the most complete human being that I possibly can. And a relationship is a beautiful bonus to that. You know, I've been with my girlfriend Imogen for 6 years at this point. And one of the girls that we've been dating, we've been with her for over a year at this point. And I've come to see in these longer term relationships, and I've had long term relationships before, but this is the most successful one and certainly the most happy and peaceful and loving. I've come to see in this relationship that the kindest thing that I could ever do for my girlfriend Imogen, my partner Imogen, is to be happy and complete in myself, to be a whole, complete person. And the times where I don't feel whole and complete, which there has been a couple of those times, particularly during 2020 with all of the lockdowns and all of that sort of silly nonsense, I very much wasn't a complete person. I couldn't see my friends. I couldn't do any hobbies. I was very depressed. I was drinking every day. I really wasn't a happy, complete person. And guess what? That affected her happiness, funnily enough. When I have been a complete, happy, whole person, that allows her the space to go and do the same thing. So the times when the relationship and when she and when I have been at our happiness or our happiest is when we have independence, when we're doing our own thing, when I have my own friends, my own hobbies, my own mission, my own goal, my own purpose. And if you don't know what your purpose is, that's okay. Just pick a purpose for right now. Pick some baby steps and some action that you can take right now and do that for the next 3 months. There you go. That's your purpose. My purpose is to just wake up every day and take some action towards some of my goals or some of the things that I think would be exciting to achieve. Work towards that every day. That's your purpose. But when I have my own purpose and when Imogen does as well, that is when we are the closest, when we are the most intimate. You know, there's a funny thing, which is you come to see in a relationship, particularly one that's built on trying to optimize for happiness and love, which is what Imogen and I have done. We've made that our mission for the last like 6 years. We both want to be as happy as we both possibly can be, and we want to share and feel as much love as we both can. When that is your goal, happiness and love, the thing that helps you feel the most happiness and the most love is having a bit of independence. Ironically, you feel more close, more connected, and more intimate when you both have independence. But I think the way that most people think about relationships, they think that independence would mean that they'd be less close. And they think the way to feel super close and intimate is to be what I would call needy, you know, to spend every waking hour with someone, to rely on them as the sole person who makes you feel better when you've had a rough day or when you're believing your own stories or when you're stressed. You know, expecting that making the other person happy is the only way that you can be happy, and then feeling unhappy if they're not happy. That's not intimacy. That's neediness. That's a burden. That's heavy. And Imogen and I felt like that in the first couple of years. You know, especially she was not okay if I wasn't okay. So funnily enough, she had something like, you know, happy husband, happy life. She believed if I was ever having a bad day, that she couldn't be okay and that she had to fix it. And there were many times that I felt the same. You know, I thought if she was sad, it's my job to fix it. I have to get in there and fix it. I did a podcast recently called Why Women Cry. We don't have to fix women's emotion. And it was something that I've learned over the last 6 years, which is if she's having a rough day or she's believing her own stories or she's sad or she's crying or any of that, I can be there for her. I can love her. I can talk through it with her, but I don't have to fix it. Nothing is wrong if she is sad. And she's come to realize the same thing. If Andy is having a bad day, if Andy is angry, if he's grumpy, if he's sad, if he's even crying, nothing is wrong. He's just feeling emotions. But it's not my job, it's not our job to get in there and fix it and, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. Because doing so, which is the energy that a lot of people who believe happy wife, happy life have, you know, they have this neurotic energy of, I have to fix this, something's wrong, she's having emotions, I have to fix this. Believing that implies that emotions are not okay. You are literally telling your partner, it's not okay to feel sad. It's not okay to feel angry. It's not okay to have a bad day. If you're ever feeling those things, I need to fix it immediately. Those feelings are bad. And what ends up happening, and this ended up happening a little bit in my relationship with Imogen until we realized it, is the other person just starts hiding their emotions. And I had a friend who was a very extreme example of this. He believed in the idea of happy wife, happy life. And he was dating a girl at the time. And this was a pattern that had played out in all of his relationships because it came from his mother. And maybe I won't tell the full story because that's sort of a little bit more personal. But basically, all of his relationships, he would get neurotic and anxious and like almost freaked out if his girl was ever sad or she was ever tired or she was ever grumpy. And he would do literally everything he could to try and fix it. You know, like, and it got so extreme that she could be sitting on the couch or laying on the couch just watching TV. And then she might just take a big deep breath and go, and just like let out a big sigh. You know, people do this all the time. You take a big deep breath, almost like a yawn. You take a big deep breath and you let it out. And he would like immediately come over and be like, hey, what's wrong? Is everything okay? And she'd be like, yeah, I was just breathing. And he'd be like, are you sure? Do you need like a glass of water? Can I get you something? And she's like, oh, that's really sweet. But no, I'm okay. And I would notice this and I would be like, what the fuck? Like, she just breathed and you're not okay with that. And he would sometimes press it for like 5 minutes at a time. Like, he would leave the room, then he'd come back and he'd be like, I got you a glass of water anyway, because I just want to make sure you're okay. And she'd be like, I'm okay. And then he'd leave and he'd come back a minute later and be like, are you sure that you're okay? Is there anything you want to talk about? Like, and it was like annoying. And there were times that she would get annoyed at him. And then he'd be like, oh, I can tell something's wrong because you're annoyed at me. And I would just be sitting there watching this going like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, stop. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's not my place to jump in and say something, but holy fuck, dude, like, you're being so neurotic. And I would gently talk to him about it after we'd left, you know, when she wasn't there. And I'd be like, dude, like, are you okay? Like, you know what's okay if your girlfriend sighs? You know what's okay if she's like grumpy one day? You know what's okay even if she fucking hated you? Like, you'd be okay. You'd just move on. You'd, you know, be single for a while, or you'd find someone else to date, or, you know, you'd work on your own mission. Like, even if she literally fucking hated you and broke up with you, you would be okay. And he was self-aware enough to know where it came from. And again, it came from his mother, and I'll leave it at that. But it was just this pain in him at the slightest hint that his girlfriend wasn't okay. Like, again, he would literally fucking freak out and have almost a panic. And what that led to over time is she figured out, oh shit, if I'm ever not okay, he's not okay. And he will freak out and try and fix it. And like, he's literally not okay if I'm not okay, because he believes in happy wife, happy life. And so he's constantly trying to keep me happy. And so what I will do is anytime I'm not okay, I will hide it. I will suppress it. I will pretend that I'm okay even when I'm not. And if he asks me if I'm okay and I'm not okay, I will lie to his face. And not because she was a malicious person. In fact, she was very genuinely loving and kind. But she did start to pretend to be okay. And then she led down the classic normie path where he says, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. Well, no, I know something's wrong. What's wrong? Nothing. Don't worry about it. The classic fucking normie answer in a relationship of nothing. Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Nothing. No, no, no. I know something's wrong. No, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. Just don't worry about it. And then that leads to an argument, obviously. And this is what normies engineer when you believe in happy wife, happy life. And most people don't realize that they're doing this, but you literally train the other person to lie to you, to hide their emotions, to not tell you when they're going through something. And this is what Imogen and I went through a little bit as well. You know, like I said, there was a period of time where she really wasn't okay. This is in the first couple of years of our relationship. She really wasn't okay with me ever being disappointed. And so what I would do is if she wanted to come see me and I was in a grumpy mood or a bad mood, or I was just busy or tired or stressed, I would say no. I would be like, no, I can't, I'm not going to hang out with you. And I'd phrase it in a nice way. I'd say, no, I'm busy today. Like, I'll see you tomorrow. And I would just not see her because I would know that she wouldn't be okay if I wasn't okay. And the exact flip side of that happened too. Like, I had trained her that if she ever wasn't okay, she should just pretend to be okay. And that bottling or that suppressing of emotions, as always happens when you suppress your emotions, eventually they come bubbling up to the surface and they sort of come out. And there would be times that we would be hanging out and I'd be like, hey, you seem kind of like quiet. Are you okay? And she'd be like, I'm fine, honey. And then, you know, I'd ask her 20 minutes later because she'd just be like dead quiet, like not even talking to me. And I'd be like, are you sure you're okay? And she'd be like, I'm fine. And then I would say, but you've just been quiet for the last 20 minutes. And she'd be like, yeah, I'm just feeling quiet today. And then maybe half an hour later, I'd say, are you sure? It's just that usually when you're quiet, like that means you're not okay. Do you want to talk? And then finally, it would all come up and she's never really been an angry person, but you know, all the emotion would come up and she'd start like almost crying and she'd be like, I don't know what you want me to say, Andy. And I'd be like, what do you mean? Like, are you okay? And she'd be like, what am I supposed to say? And I would go, well, I don't know. Like, tell me the truth. Like, are you okay? And she'd go, if I tell you the truth, then you'll tell me that I shouldn't be sad. And I'll be like, I never tell you that you shouldn't be sad. And she'll be like, you're kind of telling me that I shouldn't be sad. If you try and fix it all the time, if you literally get in there and say, hey, you know, how can I fix this? Like, why are you sad? Come on, be happy. Come on, let's fix this. Like, hey, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do all these techniques to make you happy immediately. Like, you're basically not allowing me the space to just feel sad. And through all of this, we realized, oh shit, sometimes human beings just feel sad. Sometimes human beings aren't perfectly happy. Sometimes human beings just have some fucking emotions because we're human. Like, how many of you listening feel emotions during the week? You know, you might have a period where you're frustrated. You might get annoyed at something. You might be sad. You might be a little bit grumpy. Maybe you didn't get great sleep and you wake up and you're like, I'm grumpy today. Imagine if someone comes along and says, you're not allowed to feel that way. That is essentially what is happening when you believe really deeply in happy wife, happy life. It leads to that point where you become neurotic and you teach your partner, hey, you're not allowed to be sad because if you're going to be sad, then my life isn't happy. What a huge pressure and burden and expectation that is to put on another human being. You know, literally saying, if my wife isn't happy, hey wife, if you're not happy, my life isn't going to be happy. Like literally you're ruining my fucking life if you're ever not happy. What a fucking burden that is for her. What does she do if she's having a bad day? Like she can't show you that. She has to hide it from you. She has to lie. She has to bury it. She has to suppress it. She has to just tell herself her emotions are stupid and she shouldn't feel that way. She has to not see you. She has to do all of these different things. And that's such a burden and a pressure. And you basically do the same thing, like you as the man. Because if you're believing my wife has to be happy in order for me to be happy, well, the flip side is true in your mind. Well, for her to be happy, I should be happy. I'm the man. I should tough it out. I should stick it out. Even if I'm miserable, I should just shut the fuck up. And this is how people end up in jobs that they hate or relationships that are miserable. Or they don't cut off a friend who's just dragging them down and making their life miserable. They just put up with it because they learn to suppress their emotions and to not ask themselves, what do I actually want? You're too busy suppressing all of that and going, no, I have to put on a brave face. I have to have a stiff upper lip and I have to just say, yep, I'm happy. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Even when it's not okay and you want to change something, and you want to move towards a life that you actually want to live, you just ignore that and you go, no, I'm going to pretend everything's okay because I'm used to suppressing my emotions and not actually listening to them because I'm so busy suppressing them. And then you get into these sort of toxic relationships or these toxic situations where one or both of you are not really happy, but you have to just pretend. And people go entire relationships and entire marriages like that, pretending that they're okay, pretending they're happy. But if you allow your partner and yourself the space to be unhappy sometimes and to not immediately get in there and say, this is wrong, you shouldn't feel like this, we have to fix this. Obviously, you can work towards solutions when someone is unhappy. You can say to them, hey, what would you like from me? Can I give you anything? But if they say, no, I'm just a bit sad right now, you can say, that's cool. I'll be right here. And if you want to talk, I'm right here. But I'm going to continue living my life. I'm going to continue being happy. And you can be unhappy. And that's perfectly okay. And if you want any help with being more happy, hell yeah, I'm here for that. And you've got your friends for that as well to help you be happy. You've got your hobbies. You've got all that beautiful independence to help you be more happy. But you're allowed to be sad for a little while if you want to. Be sad for as long as you want. When you do that, funnily enough, 98% of the time, the person bounces back pretty quickly anyway. Like, if Imogen is sad, and I say to her, you're allowed to be sad, sweetheart. Like, there's nothing wrong with being sad. Do you want to talk about it? I'm here if you want me to talk to you about it. But I'm going to carry on living my life. I'm going to do my hobbies. I'm going to see my friends. My life doesn't change. I mean, I might give you some free time. I might give you some of my time if you want to talk, obviously. But for the most part, the structure of my life doesn't change just because you're sad. When I do that, she then sees that my life is carrying on like normal. And that then gives her something to aspire to. She can go, okay, well, I want to get on with my day or get on with my week or get on with my month or my life the way that Andy is. Okay, like what can I do to start feeling better? But if your partner is, if you believe in happy wife, happy life, and your wife or your girlfriend or your partner or whatever is sad, and you're not okay with that, how the hell, like you're not giving her an ideal to live up to or an ideal to work towards because you're not happy either. You're sitting there dragged down into the mud just like her or with her, and both of you are now miserable. She doesn't have anything to aspire to. She doesn't look at you and go, wow, well, he's happy. Let me figure out how to be happy right now as well. She just sees that you're miserable because you're not okay with her being unhappy, and now you're just two sad people who are dragging each other down. You know, there's that saying, you are the product of the people that you surround yourself by. And if you believe deeply in the concept of happy wife, happy life, whenever she's unhappy, you'll be just as unhappy. And then you're both just sitting there feeding off that negative energy of each other. You're both just sad, you know, rather than one of you being sad and the other one being okay. And then you lift her up by your mere presence, your mere happiness or the fact that you're okay, even if she isn't. That is so transformative. Like, never underestimate the power of just being okay when your partner isn't okay. That lifts them up. It's like I said, it's transformative. So some of these are the reasons, and I could go on with this podcast. Maybe we'll wrap up. I could go on for hours about this concept, but I've just come to see that happy wife, happy life, and other normie sayings like that. There are some, I could do a podcast series on like normie things, you know, things that normies say all the time when it comes to love. Like, I want to find my other half, you know, my better half, like Jesus fucking Christ. But I could do so many podcasts on these topics. So if any of you have any concepts like this that you want me to cover, feel free to leave a comment. The easiest way to do that is you can just jump onto my YouTube channel, is where I check all of the comments. So just look me up on YouTube, Kill Your Inner Loser. I have additional content, much more content to what's over here on the podcast. And there's obviously videos, and you get to see my pretty little face, and Imogen does videos for my channel as well. So jump over there and leave a comment if you have a topic idea or something that you would like to cover either on YouTube or on the podcast. I will happily cover it. As always, ladies and gentlemen, go out there and crush those goals. And if you would like any more help with that, whether it's relationships, dating, sex, intimacy, money, business, you know, we've helped people start businesses and all of that cool stuff. I have coaching. I will leave a link in the description below. If you've been thinking of signing up for coaching, but you're a little intimidated by jumping all the way in and making, you know, what might feel like a big decision. I understand that it can feel like a big, scary decision. I have a lot of coaches, and I've done a lot of coaching programs and bought, you know, like $10,000 video courses and all of that sort of stuff. So I understand the fear that comes before you jump into something like that. I do offer one-time $200 coaching calls, which is like a one-on-one call. So you sit down with me for as long as we need, really. Some of those have gone for like hours and hours and hours, but we'll talk for as long as you need to talk through everything you want to talk about, any questions you might have, you want to come up with a plan, or you want me to come up with a plan of action for you, whatever it is that you want to milk me for with all my coaching goodness. So those are $200. It's basically like a little trial of coaching. And then you don't feel so damn intimidated by the big, scary coaching program. So I'll leave a link in the description below to that. You can literally book one in and we will sit down, go through everything. I will coach the ever-loving shit out of you. As always, ladies and gentlemen, go out there and crush those beautiful goals.